With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Over the last few years, Oregon's really been down after a surge of guys like Elijah Molden, Justin Herbert, Talanoa Hufanga, Brady Breeze, just a huge collection of really talented players. And then things kind of dipped. And while things dipped at Oregon, the state of Washington surged. And a few times, the eventual Oregon State champion, be it Central Catholic or someone else, would play one of the top teams in Washington and lose like 49-7, 49-0. Last year, Wes Lynn had a chance to play one of the top teams from Washington and got a win. And we've seen that that gap has shrunk, and it shows in the prospect list. Joining me now to discuss Oregon high school football, Washington high school football, and the top prospects in those two states, it's Jordan Johnson from Prep Red Zone. Jordan, how you doing, man?
Good, Billy. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I was encouraged. I have to say, the last few years, you know, there were years, you and I have talked about this off the air, that there were years that I pretty comfortably could have told you the all 22s for the top 10 teams in Oregon in 6A, or at least I could name 20 of the starting 22 guys. And then for 5A, I could name all of the key contributors for every top 10 team. And we haven't really had to do that in the last few years because 5A's been really down, 6A's been kind of inconsistent in Oregon, but it kind of looks like it's starting to come back, at least in a team setting.
I mean, yeah, this last year, I think the 42-6 beatdown of Westland over Lake Stevens, Washington's number one 4A team, the state champion up there, kind of spoke to the season that Oregon had versus Washington, because we haven't seen that at all in years past, like at all. And that trend with Westland, as you know, I mean, they have dudes 7th grade, 8th grade that haven't lost, period. And these kids are coming up. So Westland kind of set the precedent, and Central Catholic beat Bellevue, the defending state champions. I mean, it was a big year for Oregon football. So we'll see what happens, and it's, you know, it's one of those ones where you definitely want to see it play out. But Westland, and with Central Catholic and their dominance over the last few years, I think Oregon's got a shot.
The COVID year was really disappointing for a number of reasons, obviously. One of them was in the state of Oregon. We kind of had a team of destiny that sort of masked that a dynasty was brewing in Westland. That team easily would have won the state title. I think they played the number 3 team in the state, or maybe it was even the number 2 team in the state as their regular season finale, because they were in the same league, and they absolutely, I covered the game. I think it was 42-0 at one point or something. They were clearly going to win the state title. They would have beat everybody by 4 or 5 scores. And so, because that year there was no state champion, it ended up looking like, hey, Central Catholic has won 3 state titles in a row, or 2 state titles in a row, and no one can challenge them, when the reality was there's a West Lynn team brewing that's going to be a dynasty. They win the state title this year, and that's not going to stop anytime soon. How good is this West Lynn team, and is it crazy to say in the next 5 years the over-under on state titles is 2.5, and I might take the over? And in fact, I think I would take the over.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, it's tough to just say, yeah, they're going to win 4 state titles, 5 state titles, because it hasn't happened. I mean, Roseburg was a nationally ranked team out of Oregon back in 95 and 96. The USA Today rankings way back when. And I think West Lynn will be a nationally ranked team, bold statement, but because we haven't had those in 30 for a long time, But I mean, just with what, you know, the youngest Molden, all that, that group, and then the kids that are there right now, they have numbers, they have a line. John Eagle, I mean, literally you couldn't have, Chris Miller was one of the best coach ever in the history of the state, and John Eagle is that guy as well. I mean, they literally have everything. Players, coaches, they have a great community, they have resources, they have a lot of things. And I think Westland, you're going to see them as a nationally ranked program, which, as you know, is unheard of in the state of Oregon.
You did a rankings recently of all the top high school prospects in the states of Oregon and Washington combined for all classes, which makes you completely insane. Was that a top, yep, top 200?
Yeah.
Unreal. Unreal. Yeah. I want to go over that with you. The number one guy makes a ton of sense. It's Jason Brown out of O'Day. 20 offers already, Alabama, Georgia, Texas, Washington, Oregon, et cetera, et cetera. What made him the number one player?
I mean, the number two running back in the nation. He's you're not gonna stop him. You know, I mean, barring straight game planning and having multiple people offsetting numbers, essentially, he's gonna play. He's gonna be a guy that's gonna play a decade in the league, and kind of like a Savon Ahmed or a Miles Gaskin. You know, he's training with these guys. He does everything right. Great kid. So he's just different. And, you know, he's one that you can say, we're going to watch him play for a long, long time. I mean, he's not the biggest kid either, too. He's just special. So, that was a pretty easy one. But like you said, this list is one of those ones where you really have to project out, like, you don't know what a kid, I mean, a current freshman, you don't know how he's going to grow. You don't know what he's going to do off the field. You don't know, you know, grades. There's a million things, but, if you look at the offers, you have offers next to each kid's name as you go down the list. You can kind of get an idea. If you look into the 26s, for example, who's offered them thus far? How big are they? I mean, there's a host of variables that go into it. And with a, you know, somewhat general guesstimate, you can have a reasonable top, you know, 50. But you know, obviously it's a 200. So, you know, we'll see. It's fun to do because, you know, it's challenging and you have to put a lot of time and thought into it, but, hopefully it's interesting and people, find it. So,
where we'll go over more of this list, but where can people find this?
Yeah. Prep Red Zone, Oregon or Washington. Those are the two states that I handle. So, it's fun to combo it too for the reasons that you mentioned, because they're, you know, we're rivalry type states, you know, Oregon, Washington for many years. And now Oregon is beaten Washington. We'll see if it continues, but Washington, you know, talent wise, as you can look at the top 10 and see, you know, what, 9-1 or 8-2 Washington. You know, so they typically have more, they have typically have some of the top talent, but they have 2-1 numbers on us too, population-wise. So it's somewhat bound to be expected.
Oregon, over the last few years, has done a pretty good job recruiting Northwest talent. And just looking over this list, it looks like that's going to remain a priority. I mean, you look at a Jason Brown at number two, Braden Platt, who's one of the top 5, 6, 7 inside linebackers in the country, wants to be an Olympian as a thrower. Papa Afua, his name is Asendre, but he's 6'6", 330 pounds, and got an offer from Alabama as a freshman in high school. He's at number three. Hogan Hansen is already committed to Michigan, a 6'6", 220-pound tight end out of Bellevue. Those four are all-American good. Where do you start to do the cut of these guys maybe all-Americans, but they're not absolute slam-dunk, surefire all-Americans?
Yeah, it's a great question because we're talking 24 through 26 on this list. So
right, it's hard.
So Ansu Sano, a freshman at Lake Ridge. He's 6'2", 210 pounds. He's got Miami, Oregon, Oregon State, Cal right now as a 14, 15-year-old. So you can only imagine what he might have in a year or two if he continues to do what he's doing right now. T'Andre Waverly, the tight end out of Kamiak up in Washington. He's got, you know, 10 offers, Michigan and everybody else. The number one recruit, you know, in my opinion, for 25, those type of kids. Noah Flores, people don't even know who he is. He just got Michigan last week, tight end at a Graham Kapowsin. F.A. Ciale, Oregon, Washington State, Utah, Miami.
That dude's
he's a freshman.
Scary.
Exactly.
He's going to be scary.
So those are the fun ones, though. Those are the he's a freshman and he's got all those schools. So what I really like personally is I like a trio such as Wiley Donenberg, Jaden Fortier, and AJ Nolan, three kids who I personally think in Oregon for the 2024 class have the potential of being number one, two, and three if we're looking at how they project and how they do collegiately and maybe beyond that. Whereas Joey Olson's committed to USC, Devin Brooks has got, you know, majority of the Pac-12 and they're number one and two on most sites, which I understand and agree with. But those three kids that I just referenced, if we're saying, you know, where do they end up and how do they do in college, in my opinion, Wiley Donenberg, AJ Nolan, and Jaden Fortier could be your future one, two, and three.
It's a fascinating list in Oregon because it's been so tight end heavy the last few years. You had Riley Williams, and I know he ended up at IMG Academy, but he kind of set the tone for this wave of tight ends or big playmakers. And now in 2024, you have this four player debate that I think is fascinating in Oregon. Any of the four could actually be the number one player in the state of Oregon in this class. And it is. It's Joey Olson out of Lake Ridge, who's committed to USC. It's Jaden Fortier, who I actually have number one. You have him number two, one spot behind Joey Olson in your rankings. It's 9 and 10 overall in Oregon and Washington. Jaden Fortier out of Tualatin, Arizona State, Colorado State, Nevada, but he's adding interest every day. Wiley Donenberg is a 6'4", 200-pound, you know, wide receiver tight end hybrid out of West Lynn. And then A.J. Pugliano out of North Medford might be the highest, I think, on Rivals. I think he's a top 200 prospect in the country on Rivals. He's committed to Oregon. I think you could make a case for any of those four. None of the four would shock me 6 months from now if they were number one. And if you want a tight end and you're in the Pac-12, if you're on the West Coast, you might want to check out Oregon here in the next few months.
Yeah, it's an unbelievably solid position. Probably, maybe, I mean, bold statement, but the best we've ever had. Charlie Crowell, 6'5", 6'6", you know, 235 out of Summit. He's got Northern Arizona. He's going to have a bunch more here soon. Hayden George at 11, 6'4", 230. He's going to have a bunch of Division I offers. I love the kids that are right around, you know, 20 to 30, right in there with size. Not even as a tight end, but you take Will Haverland out of Sheldon, 6'5", 220. Go watch his film. Who cares what I say? His film speaks for itself. And those are the kids that's really fun to see where they're at now and where they could be, especially the ones that got that 81-inch wingspan or whatever it is that he has. Just throwing out some examples right now, because we talk about Fox Crater, we talk about all these guys that are blowing up or have blown up or whatever. Some of these other guys, like a Wiley Donenberg, who is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, he's a kid, in my opinion, that's going to have half the Pac-12. He's dominating the 7-on-7 circuit, the national circuit. And Wiley, I've had the number three recruit in the country, or excuse me, in Oregon for, you know, a year and a half. I think he's somebody that is going to be, he has the potential of being literally the top recruit in the state with continued progression.
You have a track record of calling these Oregon kids early. Your claim to fame, Jordan Johnson, is that you were the first person to really bang the table for Justin Herbert. And Justin Herbert was not rated. He had broken his leg as a junior. He played like one football game, and in that football game was unreal. And you said, this is an NFL quarterback. He's a four-star quarterback. He's one of the top quarterbacks in America. I want you to walk me through his recruitment, because you were begging college coaches. And then you got me on board within quickly. The two of us jumped on that bandwagon quickly. We were begging Big Sky schools to offer him, and we couldn't get anybody to offer him. So I want to ask you when you knew about Justin Herbert being great, and then go over some more of this list. Can you hang on for another segment?
Absolutely.
All right, the man who found Justin Herbert, Jordan Johnson, will join us to break down that story next on Recruiting with Andrew Dimmick on 1080 The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
To junior days to recruiting visits, this is Where It Happens. Recruiting
priced themselves out of the rest of the top 50 recruits.
Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
We're joined for a half hour by Prep Red Zone Oregon and Washington analyst editor Jordan Johnson. Been doing this a long time in this area. I saw you play when I was a ball boy in third and fourth grade for Oregon City. You played on Taylor Barton's team. I was a ball boy against that elite Roseburg team. So we've been around a long time. And one of the players and one of your claims to fame, whether national people know it or not, it's very well known locally, that before Justin Herbert was ranked on any site, no star on, no profile on anywhere, Rivals 24/7, you kind of said, I think Justin Herbert's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in America. How did you get there so early, and why were you so sure?
So Mitch Herbert, his brother, I thought was one of the most under-recruited kids like ever. And he went to Montana State and just tore it up. And I'm like, man, these kids are special. And so I started watching Justin a little more. I knew the family a little bit, such great people, like best people you'll ever meet.
Really good.
And
people.
Justin. Yeah. And first four games of the year, his junior year, he had 15 passing TDs and 7 rushing TDs. He's 6'6". He's just punking kids, like literally doing whatever he wants. He got hurt that fourth or fifth game, but that was literally his stat line, 15 passing TDs, no picks, and 7 rushing TDs. Like it was a man amongst boys. And I'm like, man, what am I missing here? And it ended up not much because he went on and did his thing, but he literally had like Northern Colorado, Montana State, Oregon, and maybe another offer. And that's it. He committed early, but I mean, that's kind of it was one of those things. So, I mean, it was just the Oregon kind of curse. Like, but that's one of those ones you would think other people would maybe catch on a little bit at some point. He was so dominant and such a special, three sport athlete that he could run, he could do whatever. And
but that was that was the problem though. Is he played 3 sports. He didn't like doing 7 on camps. When he was invited to camps, he had no interest in going because it wasn't in pads and it wasn't real. He liked to fish. You know, it was all this stuff that was like, he's not that interested in football. It's like, no, he is. He just is a 4.0 student who plays multiple sports and wants to win state titles in every sport, baseball, basketball, and football. And that's his goal, and that's his dream. And I went to the Elite 11 that year. And it was a terrible year. And later, people didn't say that at the time, but later, the guys who coached it, like within a year or two, were like, there is not a quarterback from that group that's ever going to do anything in the NFL. It's just a terrible year. There were guys that were there that my reviews were like, not a quarterback, play tight end. Like, for real. No joke. Yeah. I mean, it was bad. It was bad, bad. And Herbert was coming out that year. And then I saw Herbert like 2 weeks later just throw. And I was like, Herbert might be a top 3 quarterback in America. What are we missing? And then Oregon didn't jump on board until he visited Washington. Washington started kind of sniffing around, and they were interested in him. And that made Scott Frost and Mark Helfrich go see Herbert. And they didn't totally know what he was. I was at that game, and I don't go to Sheldon games very often, but I was at the game they went and saw him. And he got like maybe 3 throws in. And you could see him talking like, oh my God, we've got a borderline 5-star quarterback in our backyard. Like, what were we doing? And you could see him kind of laughing and smiling. And it was like, well, this is going to happen. And it was like 3 passes in. I called my cousin, who's a big Duck fan, in the first quarter and was like, I found an NFL quarterback. This is an NFL quarterback. He's unbelievable. He was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you also were a big fan of Brady Breeze when people started to say, who's this white DB, which sucks that that's what it was. But that is what it was. He went to the opening finals and they gave him a quarterback jersey because he would have been the only, and he was, the only white DB there. So they thought they got it wrong because there's no way that a white DB made the opening finals. And he did, and did great. And we kind of pounded the table. They ended up being 1-2 in our rankings. Most people had Herbert 9, 10, 7. And we had Breeze and Herbert 1-2 in our final rankings we did together, and the two of them won Rose Bowl MVPs. And we were really happy about that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Brady because, I mean, I still think he's going to spend you know, a half decade or more in the league and be, you know, potential all-pro special teams guy and be a starter at safety. And that's just another guy that has to, like, if he would have gotten, he should have started 3 years at Oregon for reasons that, you know, we don't need to talk about. Like, he was that guy, and he showed up for 5-6 games the latter part of the season. Like you said, Rose Bowl, MVP, a host of, I mean, just played out of his mind. And that's where, when they get their opportunities, to seal the deal. But even then, I mean, 1 and 2, that was like no question. Like, I felt, regardless of, like you said, 7, 9, 10, wherever other people had them ranked, there was no doubt that those were 1 and 2 at the time.
I want to get into this list a little more. Central Catholic always has great athletes. Again, you ranked the top 200 prospects in Oregon and Washington combined for all classes. Central Catholic's always got a couple of dudes. Who are their guys now? We know about Crew Newman. We'll see what he ends up being. There's kind of some Tim Tawa there, where he's this unbelievably productive high school player, but people think he might be a little undersized, and we'll see where he ends up. Who are Central Catholic's prospects here people should watch the next couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, Crew, the two-time Mount Hood Player of the Year. He's a winner and won a state title. He'll have a chance to compete against probably Westland for another state title next year. But that 2025 class, Zyle Smith and Zachary Davis, I have as my number 1 and 2. As good as Westland is, and they are, I still have the two Central Catholic kids at 1 and 2. I have no question, no doubt that Westland is going to win the state title. I'll say that right now. But I do have CC, both of those kids. That 25 class, I just want to say, like, I think a lot of that 2020, the potential is there for them to be really good. Just on a side note, Jake Normoyle out of Westland, 25, and my number one lineman, O-lineman, Baron Naoni, my number one D-lineman, and then Hudson Hardy, remember that name, he's a 6'3", 200-pound running back from Westland. Because of how deep they were, he didn't get a ton of PT this past year, but he's another guy. So it's going to be Central Catholic, Westland, respectfully, for, you know, with regards to other teams, these next couple seasons for sure, with as deep as both of those schools are.
I'm fascinated by Trent Ferguson, 6'7", 300-pound lineman out of West Salem. He is rising quickly. But I do, you keep mentioning Westland, and I have to ask, because I started hearing about him, and maybe the bloom is off the rose a little. I have no idea. But I started hearing from Elijah that his little brother was going to be the one. And Elijah's in the NFL now, and everybody said, the little brother's going to be the one. You know, Coach Moulton, Alex Moulton felt like the little brother. And then people would say, oh, yeah, every time he touches the ball, like literally every single time he touches the ball, when he's little, he scores. That group, I know, the 2027 Westland group is supposed to be unreal. Is that baby Moulton's group, and is he leading the charge there? What's that group about? Because people are talking about that. I mean, I'm talking about everywhere in Portland. Do you know about 2027 in West Lynn? Everybody's excited about it. What's the deal there?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like you just said, they just don't lose. And those are high character kids. Those are kids with size. Those are kids with NFL genes. Wyatt Smiley he's a sophomore right now, 6'3", 170. He was all conference as a sophomore. He's got a younger brother, super, super talented. They're originally Cali kids. It's just the whole group they just won the wrestling state title. I mean, like it's
they're talented and they're locked in. They have a goal and they're locked in already.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty impressive, and you know, people love to hate the teams that win consistently, but they're doing it the right way. They do they have phenomenal community support, and they have a line. So many teams with numbers being what they are now, with numbers being down in football across the board, if you have a line, I mean, you got a shot regardless. And they do, and they got dudes that can back up the dudes. I mean, they just have so many advantages. And, I mean, the TRL, they literally, at least in my way too early 6A top 10, I had every single TRL team in the top 10, in the 6A top 10, just to put that in perspective. And then Jesuit and Central Catholic being obviously two private schools with those six TRL teams. So we kind of know who the teams are going to be, who the dudes are going to be. It's just a matter of how it plays out.
I want to get you out on this question. Again, people can see this full list at Prep Red Zone, but I want to get you out with this. Who's the guy in your top 200 that you are higher on than everybody else. You've done a great job with this in the past. You've had a number of players. Anthony Adams was another player out of Newburgh that you were all about and said there's no way he should be at Portland State, not because you don't like Portland State, but just he's too good. And he's been a multi-time All-American now, literally, and it was a Defensive Player of the Year candidate for the entire country in the FCS level 2 years. So been unbelievable. Who's the guy on your list that, I'm not saying they're the next Anthony Adams or Justin Herbert, but who's the guy you're kind of pounding the table for that you're saying, this kid's way better than people think, outside of Wiley Donnerbergh? We know about Wiley Donnerbergh now.
Yeah, no. So Will Haverland, 6'5", 220, the defensive end out of Sheldon. The way he plays, he just plays with his hair on fire. No nonsense. I mean, very physical, aggressive, everything about him. The reason I say that is because I don't think he earned anything all league. I think he didn't get any all league honors. And he was, in my opinion, dominant. And you can go look at the film yourself. So I think he's going to blow up. Hayden George out of Lebanon. Like I said, I know you didn't give me two picks, but I just throw that in there. He's another one. But the fun ones, those two from a projection standpoint, Parker Williams and Pierce Walker, both kids who play for Alpha, 7-on-7. They're 5'10", 170. I'm just saying, they're two kids you take a chance on if you're a D2, D1 AA school looking for a couple kids that are just super talented. I wanted to throw a couple names out there at the end just because they're deserving. So, but Will Haverland, it would be my dude if I had to project on one guy.
Jordan Johnson, where can we find your work?
PrepRedZone.com. And I really appreciate you, man. I always, letting me spit here for a little bit.
Of course, on Twitter, @JordanJ_ is where you can find.
Yes, sir.
He'll tweet out all his links there and often tweets out evaluations. Thank you for joining the show.
Appreciate it. See ya.
I love having Jordan on. If you followed this show for a long time, Jordan used to, and I used to do a podcast every week breaking down all the 5A and 6A games in the state of Oregon, and had an awesome time with that, just breaking down games every week. And it was so much fun to hear from the athletes. It became one of those things that we hear from the athletes about it. I know that a couple times, because kids told us, coaches would play the show before games and be like, they predicted you lose by 14, and then they lost by 14. But anyway, coaches would use it to fire teams up, and it was pretty funny. I know one time we weren't real happy with one program's offensive coordinator, who they did move on from after that year, and the offense was listening to it on the offense bus on the way to the game. And the coach was like, turn that off. So we had a lot of fun evaluating all the teams in Oregon and talking about it.
It's a tough look for that coach.
Yeah, they did move on. And then they won a couple state titles. So it all worked out and ended up being the right move. And sometimes in high school you can get so into it that kind of maybe we should have handled that slightly differently other than being like, they got to move on from their OC. But at the same time, man, we had so much fun doing that. So he's living in Arizona now. We don't see each other as often, but I love having him on to talk prospects. And one of the things he hit on that's really encouraging is Oregon may not, only one of the top 9 prospects, I think, or one of the top 8 prospects in Oregon or Washington in the next 3 years, but the West Lynn team, the Central Catholic team, beating those teams up in Washington, the top teams, the state championship teams, means that the coaching in Oregon is getting better. And that's a credit to Coach Pine and the staff he's built. It's a credit to Coach Eagle and the staff he has at West Lynn. And we are seeing these top-tier programs in Oregon get some big-time coaches in here and big-time assistants. And they're really, really churning out some impressive team wins. And Oregon football, not where it was 10 years ago, not where it was 6 years ago, but I do think there are communities and pockets, especially in West Lynn, where it's still really, really good and a lot of fun to watch. And that West Lynn team could beat any team from the last decade. It's just that there's not the depth across multiple teams like there was. I want to talk a little bit to wrap up the show after the break, talk about Deion Sanders and some of the comments he's made. I think everybody is in his corner. A lot of people are rooting for him and are willing to bend over backwards for him. But he may have made himself a major target here this week, and certainly he deserves a tremendous amount of scrutiny for some of the comments that he has made. We'll talk about that, how it could affect recruiting, and more next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.